It's funny, and you watch movies sometimes and they talk about, you know, I watched a movie and the actors were going back to their reunion, and it was so long ago. It was 1994, which was so long ago. And for some of us, that's like current time. It's funny how, you know, like some of us were born before Y2K. And that was like the amazing thing, that the computer things were going to melt down and the world was going to come to a halt. And we don't even give it a second thought. In fact, we laugh about that, those memories of 2000. But here we are, 22 years later. Can you believe that?
No.
And that's another one of those irony things when you think about time. You know, for kids, it takes forever for Christmas to come. And it's because the span of life, right? When you're small, 5 years old, a year is like 1/5 of your life. And the older you get, it becomes less and less proportionate of your life. And so you tell me, you kids, you just don't realize how fast life goes. It's like, I remember old people telling me that when I was young. And so now I is one. And I'm telling people, you don't know how fast life goes. 2022. Hey, you think about those things that we, it's popular when you think about New Year's, right? Or New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions, those things that people put down is like, okay, I want to accomplish this year. And so they will say a New Year, and a classic one is, right, a diet. I'm going to start a diet or exercise. New Year's resolutions. There's some data out there that describe that about a quarter of Americans, say 25 out of 100, will say, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. And about 20% of those will actually believe that they will accomplish their resolutions. You know, it's like all of these good things I want to do. And it's like, well, how many of you believe that you're going to accomplish those resolutions? Oh, maybe 1 out of 5 will think that they're actually going to accomplish them. And of those, even of those, only those 25%, only 8% of those will actually achieve those resolutions. It's interesting, as you get online and look at New Year's resolutions, there's a whole bunch of people out there said, don't bother with resolutions. Don't even make them. They're kind of depressing. It's like, what's the point of it? What's the point of it? It's interesting, though, as you evaluate people who make resolutions, they're way more successful at doing things they want to than people who don't. Why is that? Yeah, I think about those old sayings, like, you know, those who don't plan to fail, right? Or the one that's saying that if you aim at nothing, you're guaranteed to hit it. You know, those kind of things. Well, there's a point. There's a point. And you think Proverbs talks about the man makes his plans, but God guides his steps. That God's a planner. You know, we talked about this worshiping, you know. Aren't you glad God planned a few things? It's like, oh man, I forgot about gravity. Let me go collect everybody out of the solar system and the universe and stick them back with some magnetic shoes or something. But God plans ahead. Yeah, Forbes magazine writer Tracy Brower identified reasons for making New Year's resolutions. There's good reasons that we should make New Year's resolutions. The first one is just intention. Intention. It requires you to identify things that you don't like the way they're going, or things that you want to improve at. It identifies intention, saying life just doesn't happen. Circumstantial. You know, good things don't just happen because you're alive. You have to be intentional about what you do. She talks about hope and engagement. That just making a resolution, you're hopeful that tomorrow or this year is going to be different than the one before. It encourages you to be engaged in the process, not just watch life happen to you. And she talks about responsibility. It's saying, you know what? If I want to make a change, I like to blame Jackie on a lot of things. It's like, Jackie, why didn't you make me stop eating that third helping? It's like, why didn't you, whatever, why did you make so many Christmas cookies? You know, why couldn't we have given them all away? No, making a resolution says, I'm responsible. I'm responsible for my choices. Other people aren't responsible. I'm responsible. And in that way, too, it's not just how I live my life, but how my life affects other people. Because the choices that you make, the choices that I make, impact the people around us. And it kind of reminds me, it brings me to her fourth identification is it's inspirational. Why? It's inspirational. As you walk out your resolution, it encourages other people to value those things. They, wow, they're doing the hard work of identifying and walking out their resolutions. I should do that. Or I've chose the same one. I'm trying to eat more salads or whatever. Hey, let's go out to eat. Let's get a salad together. You know, just the reality is, like, you act like who you hang out with. You know, if you have somebody who cares about maybe exercises or likes doing hikes or likes reading books or eats healthy, that's who you want to, those things that you value, that's who you need to hang out with. Inspiration, it inspires you to do things and be encouragement to others in those changes that they're maybe in the process or they want to make. You know, like, oh, I should do that too. I should do that too. I'm excited about 2022, not just because I don't want to wear this thing anymore. I hate wearing this. And everybody says that. There's nobody who likes wearing it. We're ready to be over with COVID. We're ready for all the variants to be gone. But I'm excited for 2022 because it's an opportunity for you and I to live out our faith. It's a new opportunity. We talk about new beginnings, a reset, a do-over, like Pat was talking about when sharing a communion, that we've been given a gift. We've been given a gift. And what I'm going to call that gift is an opportunity. An opportunity. Opportunity. A set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. An opportunity to see something you haven't seen before. An opportunity to do something you haven't done before. An opportunity to come to a fork in the road and choose for the first time to go a different way than you've gone before. An opportunity. 2022, a new doorway to walk through. Opportunities come in all sizes. There's big opportunities and there's little opportunities. The problem is we don't know which ones are going to be which, right? We can see an opportunity and we step into it and maybe it doesn't amount to much. And other times we think that it's a small opportunity and we don't think much of it and it turns out to be a huge opportunity. Whether it's a friendship or a job opportunity or a new way to understand a relationship with God, to trust Him, and all of a sudden your whole life is changed because of taking advantage of that opportunity. Opportunities, Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be also dishonest with much. The reality is God calls us to steward opportunities. He calls us to be responsible, whether it's a small opportunity or a big one. Because the kingdom truth is that if we're not stewarding small opportunities, we're not going to steward big ones. I always think about people, you know, and just character. You know, they always laugh at people who, you know, you say, how come you didn't do that in this job? And say, well, if you paid me more, I would do a better job. I'm like, no, you wouldn't. If you don't do the job that needs to be done and you're neglecting those responsibilities at this pay, you're going to neglect them at this pay. The people that you want to promote, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for people who are responsible in this situation. That's who you want to promote. That's who you see them show up to work every day. You see their attitude and their job. Because you know that if they're paying attention to this little stuff, they're going to pay attention to the big stuff. They're going to do a great job at it. It's such a travesty these days as employers struggle to find employees that'll just show up to work. I was ready. I saw the sign on our local Taco Bell, you know, $17.50 an hour plus $3 an hour bonus or something like that if you worked after 9 o'clock. I'm thinking about putting my application in. I was like, this is why? As we see, you know, that lines of cars lined up, and I'm thinking, man, I can't afford to eat at that place. You spend a bundle, and well, no wonder. Opportunity, we're accountable. I was thinking in stewardship. Stewardship is an attitude, not a decision, not just a decision. You can't, you decide, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be kind here and I'm going to be unkind over here. No. If you're kind, you're always kind. If you're going to be a good steward, you're a steward, good steward, and regardless of the kind of situations that come up, you're aware of things. I always laugh at the people who are misers and frugal. They can get just a huge amount of resources accumulated. And at that point, they start spending all their money, right? No. They've been frugal all their lives. They get to this point and they're... don't need to be frugal anymore. They keep being frugal. Those things we are as an attitude of how we face things. Stewardship requires that we value the resources that we've been given. Stewardship of relationship. Stewardship of time. Stewardship of intellect, stewardship of friendship, stewardship of wisdom, stewardship of provision, stewardship of opportunities. Opportunities, every single one of us have been given opportunities. If you and I don't value opportunity, if you and I don't value opportunities to make changes, to do things, to step into new things, to learn, to grow, we're not going to steward them well if we don't value them. We are accountable for our opportunities. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every, what? Opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When we talk about the word opportunity, it's kind of two different ways that the New Testament uses it. And one here that we're looking at is really opportunity is a moment in time or a season in time. Seasons is like there's, you know, a season of time, maybe a day at work, a moment in time, maybe an opportunity that you have in a conversation, a window's open for you to be kind to somebody, to walk out faithfulness. We are accountable for how we steward our time, how we stew, whether it's a moment or a season, opportunities for relationship with believers as well as our neighbors. I was convicted this last week as I prepared this sermon about stewarding my time. My wife, we've enjoyed the last couple weeks. She works for a school district, and so we like it around the house when the school's out, because it means my wife gets to stay home and we get to hang out together a little bit more and do some projects. And sometimes things can be overwhelming. You know, you're busy and you're trying to plan ahead. Okay, what do we want to do today? What do we want to do today? One of those days, I'm a project person. And I intentionally said, I am going to, Jackie, this is your day. And she hates that. She said, Scott, you just tell me what to do. I said, no, you're going to tell us what to do today. Are we going for a walk today? Or, you know, and she liked to do, what time are you going to go? I want to go with you. And we went on her path, not on my path. See, we all got a routine. And I have my routine. I said, no, we're going to go your way. Went a walk. I said, and I know she loves to read books. I'd say, what book are you reading? She said, I'm reading this book. I said, I'm reading this book. I finally finished a book I've been reading for several months. I sat there, and finally, after 4 hours of reading, I'm like, oh, I can't stand this anymore. I've got to get up and do something. And she's like, oh, yeah? She's like, I'm okay. I can keep reading. But I just like, I stewardess, like, no, this is opportunity to love my wife. And I'm just, and honestly, it was super relaxing. It was enjoyable. And I got a book done that I've been meaning to finish. I got another one right below it that I've got to finish too. But I love this is a steward opportunity. But I was convicted later in the week as I got cranky. I have a view of my life that should be filled with lots of people and doing things. And so I talked about, okay, what are we going to do for the New Year's? You know, what party are we going to have? And my wife's like, I don't want a party. I'm like, what? No party. And I found myself not being wise. That verse, right? It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. That wasn't my conversation. I was convicted because I had no conviction. It was just like, hey, we're just working through life. And the Lord convicting on me is that you didn't respond with grace and seasoning. That you go away with salt in the sense that it's something that adds flavor to it. Makes it delicious. Makes it like, oh, that tasted good. When my wife walked away from that conversation, she was not feeling good. In fact, us guys, we can go to sleep at night, wake up the next morning, and can't even remember what the conversation was about. Did you know our wives are not the same? They remember. And I looked at her, and I could tell her demeanor was a little subdued. And as I just was working through my sermon, I said, oh, I hate this, Lord. It's a love-hate relationship, okay? I love God convicting my soul, but I hate the reality that I'm broken and I'm sinful and I still need Jesus as much today as I did 20 years ago, 50 years ago. I still need Jesus. And I shared, I said, Lord, after I have a conversation with the Lord, I said, Jackie, I just want to share something. You know, about opportunity. I didn't use that opportunity well. I had an opportunity to love you, and I allowed my sinful flesh get in the way of loving you. And it has nothing to do with how we're going to spend the night or the day. It has to do with the interaction with it. You know, because she says, you know, the reality is we're different people. You're different than your spouse, you're different than your neighbor, you're different than your coworker, you're different than your friends. But to have interactions that are life-giving is an opportunity to reflect who God is, and we're accountable for that. And how we interact. When you talk about opportunities for 2022, here's four ways that we can consider in making the most of the opportunities that we have. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. As I look at 2022 and my opportunity, I need to be careful about them. I need to be careful about my opportunities. I need to recognize that the opportunity that I have can be lost or can be damaged. Because we can take and use opportunities, but not for good. I used that opportunity conversation, and I didn't use it the way, the best way that God intended to bring life. I think about those boxes as we had at Christmas times, you know, and maybe you unwrap them, and maybe before you wrapped them, you made sure you put the bow on the right side so that it wasn't upside down. But they maybe say fragile on them, or they maybe say this side up. Some even say this side down. You figure, okay, we've experimented. Which one are they going to pay attention to? But reality is what's the same. What's inside is valuable. It's interesting. The word doesn't just say be careful. What does it say? Be very careful. That what you have is valuable. Opportunities are valuable. Pay attention to how you handle them. Be wise with your opportunities. Realize that opportunities are strategic. Realize that what you do today has consequences tomorrow, for good or for bad. Be aware that there's an evil world around us that has intentions that are just the opposite. Right? If there was a Bible, a scripture of the devil, it would say, use every opportunity for evil. Use every opportunity to trip somebody up. Use every opportunity to discourage somebody. Use every opportunity to kill them, to blind them, to maim them, to make them lame. Be aware that there's an enemy of our soul that wants to take those same opportunities and use them for evil. As I be aware in conversations, I have to be in touch with my humanity, my old habits that like to duck out of responsibility or think that is just my right. What's wrong with that? You know, right? We, America, you don't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. Whereas Jesus says, no, you're not. He says, you're mine. You've been bought with a price. I'm accountable to the Lord. When we don't understand what God's will is in an opportunity, the word says what? We will be foolish about those opportunities. Just like I was foolish in that conversation, because it was an opportunity for us to be intimate and share the differences of our personality and how we like to spend an evening and how we don't like to spend evening, to be intimate and say, wow, I can honor that, Jackie. I want to honor that. Let's figure out how to do that. And I'm sure I don't think I shared too much about even that day that I chose to say, we're going to spend it your way. Wouldn't that be cool, Scott, if you did that more than once a year? You know, opportunities. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 to 9 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. As I think about opportunities, I'm going to call this be thoughtful. Be thoughtful about your opportunities. Every one of us has to come to terms that we are limited people. We have X amount of hours in the day. We have X amount of energy. We have X amount of emotion. We have X amount of days, of hours, to realize that we're limited people. I connect this first verse of 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on the Lord, for he cares for you. is an exercise of our limitation. What Jesus is saying is, you have limited time, limited energy. I want you to spend it on where you need to pay attention. Part of delegating, being a good manager, delegating is not doing it all yourself. Some of us OCD, list-making people, doing people like to do it all ourselves, and that isn't the way God designed it. God designed us to delegate. And God is saying, hey, you have no business being anxious and paying attention to your cares. If you're anxious and worried about something, that's my job. It doesn't mean that those things, you shouldn't be thinking about those things. It's don't be anxious and worried. Say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but this is not my job. Your word says this is your job. Did you know you could say that to God? I've said that to God. God, I just want you to know this is your job. I'm not reminding him, right? I'm reminding me. Say, this is your job. And as we embrace limited, he says, as we get rid of and say, this doesn't belong to my time, my limited being, what does belong? As I give him a care, he says, you need to be alert and sober-minded. You need to be thinking about, there's an enemy of your soul that wants to enter into your life. What is it, the doorways? What are the windows? What are the things that are distracting you to look at anything but who Jesus is and his call on your life? Those are the things that we need to be thoughtful about. Being a good steward requires us to spend our resources in the most effective way. God calls us to follow him, to let him handle the things that he said he'll take care of. Never stop resisting. Don't ever let down your guard. Be resolute in your faith, standing firm. Say, no, this is what God called me to do. This is what my opportunities. Does this opportunity line up with what God called me to do for his will in my life? I love that saying. It says, did you know no is a full sentence? I know for me, because I'm a people pleaser, I can't say no without telling them why I'm saying no. No, but I still love you, man. I still care about you, but we'll get it. We'll do this later. No. No is a complete sentence. When we understand God's will for our life, saying what we say yes to and what we say no to will become clear. Be encouraged that you're not alone. Believers around the world are struggling with the same things you are. And they're choosing to make the most of the opportunity that they have. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why we've done small groups, because it's in those relationships that we get encouraged. It's in those relationships that God reveals his word and highlights things that we might not otherwise see. To know that, man, I love it. And it's not like, you know, they talk about, well, you just don't want to, you know, you want other people to share in your misery. Well, they call it what you want. I'm encouraged when I know that I saw this and I'm discouraged that you are too. And we get to come together and trust God. Say, God's the one who's going to see this through. That God's the one who's called us. Let's encourage each other, man. This is not the end. This is not the end. The third way that we can make the most of every opportunity is to be thankful. Be thankful. Thankful always and for everything. Did you know God's the only one who can say things absolutely? We always say that. You always do that. They tell you in marriage class, you don't ever say that. God can say those things. He can say always and everything. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. Thankful for God's provision for opportunities, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, again, absolutes, right? In all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's like a sentence full of verse, full of absolutes. All, every. to recognize that we have opportunities and you can say, God, if you've called me to do this, you will give me the resources to do this. And I'm not just talking finances like minuscule. When we talk about resources, it starts with a resource of hope, resource of energy, resource of perspective, resource of faith, resource of diligence. In James 1, 2 and 3, thankful for struggles that help us mature. Some of you may have a love-hate relationship with this passage. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Thankful. Thankful the struggles that you're in, because in that process, as we walk in relationship with God, in those words that Joseph of the Old Testament said, what you intended, what, for evil, God intended for good. That it does take an engagement. Joseph was engaged with faithfulness all the way through. And that's how God could use what was evil for good. That you and I would recognize that in difficult circumstances, as we're faithful to God's will, that there will be something good accomplished in us. And that in turn, we will be an inspiration to others in their faith. I'm thankful for the future that we are receiving. Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. I'm thankful. I would not be here this morning. I would not be in my marriage. I would not be in relation with my kids. I wouldn't be in relation with you guys and with my family. If it wasn't for the promise of heaven. What this earth has to give, it might be enough for you, but it's not enough for me. I walk out, say, thankful, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that the return on this investment, my return in trusting you, is far beyond what I can think or imagine. I can't wait to get to heaven, to recognize the things that, you know, we have our own pity parties about what we sacrificed and what we did that nobody knows about. Guess who does know? God knows. In fact, the word says that he writes them down in a book of remembrance. God knows. I don't have to trumpet myself. I don't have to say, hey, good job, everybody. You know what I just did? You know what? Because that just takes it away. I want my treasure in heaven. I want to go into God's book. He says, if you get the attention and reward today, you're not going to have it in heaven. I want my reward in heaven. Part of that is being thankful for what we're receiving, the future that he's guaranteed, that he promises. And finally, as I look at these four things that we steward, is faithfulness. Be faithful in our opportunities. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 and 5. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring a light, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. And God calls us to be faithful in our opportunities. Be faithful, faithful, faithful. He says, that's who, just like to go about stewardship, right? Kingdom, stewardship. To be faithful in the little things builds the track record and practice for being faithful in much. What God calls us to be faithful, as I look at 2022, I want to walk out faithfulness to who God called me to be. I want to be faithful to my friendships, faithful to my relationship with God, faithful to the assignments that he's given me. In the little things and the big things, to be faithful in the opportunities, not just after the fact, but be faithful to grow, to be faithful in my repentance. To say, it's interesting, you know, it's a total pride, but as I was doing the sermon, it's like, you know what? It's like, what resolutions do you have, Scott? I'll share this with you transparently. I'm doing pretty doggone good. I don't have any resolutions to make. And they felt the Holy Spirit say, oh, Scott. Oh, Scott, we need to have a little talk. There's some things that need to change, buddy. There's some attitudes that aren't right. There's some ways of thinking that are stinky. Oh, Lord, be faithful. As we come into this new year, I think it's so appropriate that I shared earlier that little video about prayer and fasting, that we get to experience this January 10th and then 21 days. For 21 days to be committed to fast. It's like, I can't go out with food for 21 days. We'll talk about that, what that might look like. I love this quote from Bill Gross with our Foursquare denomination. He's a culture coach. He describes fasting prepares us to focus our attention on God and His priorities. And intentional replacing of one thing we enjoy to embrace another enjoyment. The true focus of fasting is always God Himself and His presence and purpose in us. I love just as we will talk a little bit about fasting, but as somebody say, well, what's the point of that? And I love what he described as, how many enjoy food? It was like, no, not me. I don't enjoy it at all. How many enjoy it maybe a little too much? But it doesn't just stop with food. It could be entertainment, you know, just those things that you do with your day that's part of your routine. And they're not bad things. In fact, as this quote points out, they're good things. Maybe you do enjoy. But you're saying, my enjoyment is better spent with a bigger enjoyment of being with you, God, to understanding what it is you called me to do and the life you've called me to live and the purpose that you created for those good things that you created from before eternity for me to walk in. There's different kinds of fasts. There's maybe fasting a certain type of food for those 21 days. It might be fasting a meal or two a day. It might, for those super fasters, it might be fasting all your meals except for liquid for that season or part of that season. How you and I choose to fast really is not the main issue. Really, it's what are you going to do in place of that fast? If you're going to do without food or meal, if you're going to do without TV or social media, if you're going to do without something, what is it that you're going to replace that time with? That's something I'm hoping to grow in this year. Rather than focusing on my growly stomach. And it's amazing to me how doing without something, it draws attention to it. Have you ever noticed, maybe you have, when I fast, I want to eat more than I ever wanted to eat. It's like, I can skip a meal. I can skip a day of meals out of choice because I'm busy and it's not a big deal. But all of a sudden, when it becomes spiritual, all of a sudden, it's just like, whoa, what in the world is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. You know, and just as I want to grow and say, what am I going to replace it with? So I'm just not doing this thing, but I'm doing something that's honoring, that's growing to my relationship, that puts me in a place to hear His voice. It might be particular scriptures that you would draw your attention to. I'm going to be going through this book of Psalms. I'm going to be looking at this part of David's life or understanding what the gospel is and going maybe through it. A book in the New Testament to really focus on and meditate on God's word and say, God, will you speak to me through this time so that I have what it takes to make the most of the opportunities that you give me this next year? like they talked about, you can go to foursquare.org or you can go to our website and pick up. What's unique about this year that I love is they've added a thing called family moments. And it's opportunities for discussion as a family so that even those of you with kids can engage your kids in the process of their relationship with God. This is a new year. It's a new year for us to live out our faith in 2022. My question for me and you is, how are we going to steward that opportunity? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for opportunities, because I know without opportunities, there would not have been good things resulted. Good things in my own heart, good things of enjoyment of relationship, good things of understanding the future, good things of growing in skill and talent, good things that you intend for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we would be a church, that we'd be people that would be good stewards of opportunity, of circumstances, maybe even just recognizing opportunity. That may stop there, just as like you convicted my heart that an opportunity was just in a conversation, a regular weekly conversation or interaction. Lord, that I get to cast all my cares and anxieties for you, and I need to pay attention to the right things. The things that you've called me to be alert, to be careful, to be thoughtful, to be thankful, to be faithful in the opportunities that you've given me. Lord, I thank you. I pray for our Foursquare Church family across the nation, across the globe. Lord, that we would take advantage of this opportunity to join together, to encourage one another, to seek your face. We need you, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.